The issues of Refuah on Shabbos are the subject of many, many different sugyos in Shabbos and elsewhere in Shas. And they can sometimes, I wouldn't say be head-scratching, but they can. There's a lot of sort of almost random things to try to assimilate. The Rishon, who was probably most responsible for sorting it out, certainly in terms of influencing the Shulchan Aruch, was Ramban. In a Sefer Torah Sa'adam in Shar HaMechush, this is the second part of Shar HaMechush, and if not for the Ramban's presentation, you would have, in many ways, a lot of sort of miscellaneous information. And his presentation becomes, I think, the basis for the subsequent discussion of Rishonim, and the basis for ultimately what appears in the Torah and then in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramban's Torah Sa'adam, incidentally, for those who are doing Hilchos Avelos, also became the foundation for Hilchos Avelos in Yeridea. The Torah writes at the beginning of, I think, Simen Shin Lamed Hei, that basically he is basing his Hilchos Avelos around the Ramban's Torah Sa'adam. The Ramban's Torah Sa'adam is a wonderful work. It is a very clearly written work, I find, generally speaking, unlike, let's say, the Ramban's Chidushim and the Lechamos, which can often be very difficult to read. The Torah Sa'adam reads pretty fluidly, and he really quotes a lot of Makoros. He quotes all the relevant Gemaras Yerushalmi. He quotes a lot of Gaonic material. That's true in Hilchos Avelos, not necessarily in this, even in these Inyanim. I don't remember from the part that I gave you, but in Dinei Sakana, which is the next part, the Ramban quotes extensively from the Bahag and others. I haven't decided yet. What I want to do today, and it may go into Sunday, but hopefully not further than that, is to introduce the basic principles of Dinei Refuah on Shabbos. And then, after that, we have a few days of Shir in which I have to decide whether or not I want to try to, which topics to deal with in Sakana. I am open to talking about any number of the interesting things that emerge, and people have strong feelings about issues that that we can talk about. Some of them more lumdish, some of them more major halachic topics. For example, the question of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, just Hutra D'chuya, I'm almost certainly going to talk about that question because it has practical implications. That's more of a lumdish type question. There's the issue of Pikuach Nefesh, and most of the issues really to talk about are within Pikuach Nefesh itself. And within Pikuach Nefesh, the question of Eidos and Bekiyim and how one weighs Deos. There's a major sugya there in terms of how the Rishonim read certain Gemaras. The question of Chilul Shabbos and violating Averis of Pikuach Nefesh of an Ubar, which touches upon the larger question of abortion and the status of a fetus. The Ramban has a very, very important passage here again in the Shar, in the section that deals with Inyan HaSakana. There are a few other topics also that we might wish to explore. So perhaps come Monday or Sunday, I'll raise some of them and put them up for a vote. Not a formal vote, but what people would sort of like to hear spoken about in this. I didn't really want to. I could have just done what we did previously with Mukta, which is give you there maybe, depending on how you want to count, 3-4 simanim here on Refuah, Pikuach Nefesh, and so on. But a lot of this materials are so scattered. In other words, you'd be reading about a lot of refuahs that nobody does anymore. And the question is, is it permissible to be lois mustaki, right? Or can you be Tarv Yayin and Shemin together? Well, guess what? not only can you not do that on Shabbos, you can't do that Bechol either, because nonsense is nonsense. So for us, it's nonsense. So many of the cases of the Gemara, and just sort of the nitty-gritty doesn't, it's not like the Muksa case where not every nitty-gritty case comes up, but basically, we can relate to it, whereas much of what's here cannot be related to. That's a different topic, which I do not intend on discussing next week, but the fact that we ignore the refuos that are found in Chazal. So that's why I don't want to do it that way. I'd rather sort of pick topically a little bit, and that's more interesting. And we'll cover most of the major things that are broached by the Beis Yosef in this siman. There is this siman, and there are a couple of simonim afterwards. I think Shin Chavtes and Shin Lamed still are technically Pikuach Nefesh related, and Shin Lamed Aleph already, I think it's Shin Lamed or Shin Lamed, which starts Dinei Mila. And that already I'm not interested in. I'm not interested in general, but not interested in dealing with that now. What's Docha Shabbos and so on. So anyway, so that, but that's the, that's basically where the Inyan HaRefuah start with the Ramban, and it's worth mentioning at the outset, or we're going to read it, but I want you, you'll hear this multiple times, and you should really sort of burn this into your head, is that there are actually four categories of holy in terms of how we deal with it on Shabbos. And when you're dealing with a Shaila, you have to, first thing you have to decide is whether it's Pikuach Nefesh here. Okay, you have to decide whether it's in that category. And if you decide that it's in the category Pikuach Nefesh, then you pick up the phone, you dial 911. If, however, it's not in the category Pikuach Nefesh, then you have to decide which one of three categories it falls into. Category number one would be Sakonas Eiver, which we assume as a matter of principle is not Docha Shabbos. There is a Me'iri, supposedly.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Me'iri inside?
I
haven't. But I heard it quoted. My recollection, Drew Schechter spoke about the idea years ago that for Pikuach Nefesh purposes, a Das Yachid doesn't count unless you can find someone else that supports that Das Yachid. To support it, then you could follow it. So I think that Sakonas Eiver, the Me'iri is usually assumed to be a Das Yachid. You're not Mechal Shabbos for Sakonas Eiver. The threat of losing a limb, even the rest of the person, is going to remain intact. It's fairly rare that you encounter situations of Sakonas Eiver that aren't potentially Pikuach Nefesh as well. The Mishnah Berurah already writes somewhere in Sif Yud Zayin, he writes, but if you're dealing with Sakonas Eiver, could potentially lead to Sakonas Gufo, then of course you Mechal Shabbos for it. So it's very rare that you have a Sakonas Eiver that you would say there isn't the danger. It's possible, but it's rare that there isn't the danger of something spreading, you know.
Would a broken hand be Pikuach Nefesh or something?
Depending on the situation. So the truth is, what do you have to do for a broken hand? Anyway, that's what you. When we talk about Sakonas Eiver, we're only talking about Chilul Shabbos Daraisis. If you're talking about setting the arm, I don't know. Well, again, most of the time, well, the answer is yes. The bigger shadow would be for the drivers. And there's a general problem. By the way, on the topics, if people are interested, would be doctors driving to and from home from the hospital on Shabbos. It's the same Shaila. It's not the same Shaila, but it is the same Shaila. It might have a different answer. But I think the assumption would be is that in cases, you know, if you fall and break your arm, and you get up. So under ordinary circumstances, although this might happen otherwise, you don't call 911. You pick up the phone, you call taxi, and you go to the hospital on Shabbos, and that's a derabbanan. But the situation, depending on the nature of the broken arm, there is potential. It depends on the situation. Again, sometimes it's not even obvious you broke the arm, so you're not even sure what to do. But if it's a situation where the arm is broken and the bone is protruding, you know, a real full break, so you need to get to the hospital. That's not kind of snafashos, right? The potential for infection and the like. So it's pretty rare. It's pretty rare that you deal with a situation of sakonas eiver where you know that it's only a sakonas eiver and nothing more. And yet in a situation where you can't do it on a damn mir al-akam, it's going to be a pretty unusual circumstance. Merely setting the bone is when Mishnah said you're not allowed to do, and Shmuel said wrong nusach and machzir nes hashever. So that turns out not to be an issue. But in principle, in the theoretical sense, sakonas eiver is category one. Category number two is a chola shein bo sakana, where there's no danger of a particular eiver, but the person is ill beyond the level of mechush. A person is either nofel mishkav, or he's a choli b'chol gufo in such a way that it's the equivalent of nofel mishkav, even if he's not totally non-functioning. And then the third category is what's called the mechush bialma. You know, that he's already on the way to getting better and he's healing and he's fine. And it means that he's not incapacitated. You know, sometimes you have a headache that's so bad that basically all you can do is lie down. And in that situation, that's category two. Sometimes you have a minor headache that's annoying, you know, but it doesn't impede your functioning significantly. Where you go about your business, that's category number three. I've only counted the three categories, and not sakonas nefashos. Sakonas eiver, holy, chol hashem basakana, and mechush bialma. So, people are not aware of the fact that when you have just a minor issue that doesn't incapacitate you, so you don't take medicine on Shabbos. Yom Tov is, interestingly enough, I don't know if any of you paid attention. I wouldn't have paid attention if not something I heard of Shechter say many years ago. Doesn't say anything about Gzeiros Refuah on Yom Tov. So I don't remember.
Isn't it all from Tov?
Oh, well, hold on. So all I remember, I'll ask Reb Schechter what what if he said anything more. All I remember from many, many eons ago was his commenting that it doesn't say anywhere beferish, that I think is correct. It doesn't say anywhere beferish about Xeris before applying to Yom Tov, or not applying to Yom Tov. But he quoted, I think, an Apnei Nezer who said, based upon a Tosefta, I've never checked to find it, that you can do Dine, you can do Refu as Batar Chalamoed, that on Yom Tov you see it's Aser. So I haven't seen the Apnei Nezer, I haven't looked at Tosefta, and one could ask all sorts of questions if all I've quoted to you is what I just quoted to you. But I would have thought as a Dever Pashut that the Xeris Refu doesn't apply on Yom Tov. You were about to say why. There's no Issur Tochen. You're allowed to grind up spices on Yom Tov for food. Why would this be any different? Yes, Gilan.
Shabbos Yom Tov Lepluk.
You do have such funny types of things. We just encountered one not so long ago. I don't remember where it was in the Daf Yomi. It was somewhere in Beitza where they made want to make a Xeir on Yom Tov at the Shabbos. He was totally not Shayach to Yom Tov. Yeah, I'm sorry, Gilan, you were.
It's so clear that Shlita Samadim is Tochen versus.
I mean, the word shchika samimanim means grinding up spices. Shachek hetev hetev hadek hetev. No, I'm sorry. That's hadek hetev. But to be shochek means to grind up. Yeah, doesn't mean to. It's not dosh. Yeah, that's what I was. Shochek yafi yafi radishidaka madaka. Thank you. Right. No, that means you grind them up very fine.
Would it make a difference if it was mafarik or something?
That's more interesting question now you get into the Malilos case and what's Matan Yom Tov, but I think it's a Tchina, a Tochein, and I think Tochein is much more Matan Yom Tov than Mefarik is. Mefarik I think is assumed to be Aser, but you're allowed to grind up salt and spices in a manner that's an Issur Daraisa, and that's a Malacha Daraisa. Even by salt that we require, the Shini we require by salt is not one that removes it from a Malacha Daraisa, right? It's still a Malacha, it's just you're doing the Tzas Heker, that's all. So it really would be very strange, as Adin was about to say, to assume that Xeris Refuah should apply on Yom Tov. The whole reason of Xeris Refuah, Shchita Samimanim, I think there's a good reason why the Mishnah doesn't mention any of these things by Yom Tov. And the Braises don't mention anything by Yom Tov. So, I don't know. It's not explicit there. But certainly on Shabbos, it would be also to take medicine for a Mechosh Bialma. Right? So if you, even putting aside the question of a Marech, to put an ointment on something that's an irritation on the skin, that's a minor thing that you can function with, you're not allowed to do so.
And
right.
Yet on Shabbos.
On Shabbos. Whereas if it's something, which would really be incapacitating, really, really painful, extremely, really significantly reduce a person's functioning. Once got a shayla about this in camp, about a kid who had, I think, psoriasis, and if he didn't use the medicine, it could get really, really bad. And so that's a case of that I think is equivalent of functionally of nofel mishkav if it significantly impedes one's functioning. But if it's dumb, you have a little bit of skin irritation, so then you don't put something on it on Shabbos. Now, yes.
Well, this jumps to the whole answer process, but what about liquid? It's liquid.
That has nothing to do with Xeris Refuah. That's just a Memareach question.
Drinking liquid also, like to drink cough syrup?
It would be the same thing. So one of the general...
The balls, like those candies, does that count as Refuah? But if you could argue there's a Tzad Achila...
So it has to be, depends whether or not, so this is one of the klalim you will see, if you read through all, not today's Mekoros, one of the klalim will be that anything which is machal briyim, you're allowed to use, even though it's for refuah. Anything which is not normally machal briyim, if you're not sick, you're allowed to use it. If you are sick, you're not allowed to use it. So the question would be certain types of things, certain types of sucking things people might be considered machal briyim. Right? If you took a peppermint candy, that's machal briyim. So if you have a sore throat, you could use that. If you had something that people only use when they have a sore throat, so that would probably be awesome.
Also, it was like something like, I don't know.
I don't know. I never use it, so that's just not one of my things. Like, it's hard for me. I have to know exactly what is the way people use it, whether you'd call that machal briyim or not. The Rav supposedly said that aspirin is machal briyim, and which. So let me make the following observation: if you have a person who's healthy, but they take a baby aspirin a day to ward off heart disease, so that probably should be mutter because they're a bari, and that may have been what the Rav meant. This, of course, might potentially cast a wrench into my argument about exercising on Shabbos, which I still haven't. Yes, I have kashas against my own shita. What?
What do you mean?
Well, because how do I know that it's usher to exercise on Shabbos? That's the Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? Ein Misamlin. But if you look at the way the Torah quotes it, or maybe the Rambam quotes it, it sounds like it's a person who's already sick. Now, I don't know that that was actually true. I don't know if everybody agrees with that.
Or, like, Chaim was telling me it was about, like, a wrestler.
No, no. What's that?
Sullivan had a whole series of...
Okay, however, as much as I respect that scholarship, what matters probably more in this case is how the Rishonim treat it.
Right.
I always thought it was something like that. In which case, it should apply to maybe all sports. But that's not how the Poskim took it.
They also say certain ones are allowed, certain ones are not. Depending on if you want to extend the entire measure for the same thing, then you could say, like, why on earth are you going bathing on Shabbos? Not that there's a separate issue of that. Why did they mention the same mission as well? You could say that there's something else also. Is it related to, like, something like being in a sauna, similar to that, but is it clearly not the same as the other day of Lanim, or it would have been associated with, like, similar to that fact?
And therefore, you're arguing that even if it's not holy, as opposed to the other, right? No. So look at,
but that part's allowed as opposed to rest of which are not allowed, and they're both similar categories, just different aspects.
Okay, my problem is that Amos Amlin is also the source for, you know, okay. But again, if the Rishonim don't read it that way, it's going to be a little bit trickier. So anyway, I haven't changed my opinion yet, but I have to do a little work. So generally speaking, for a person. In other words, and remember that there are sort of three types of categories of things that one might do, that, or four, if you want to put it, that can be discussed in this particular context. Number one are malachos, real malachos, like shchita and bishul and so on, which reminds me of another very important topic, but it's tied to at least one of the others potentially, which is if you have a nevela, on Shabbos and a chola who requires eating, do you shecht an animal to get kosher meat from, or do you feed him from the nevela? There are machlokas or rishonim and many, many different reasons as to why one might pick option A or option B. So we could have malacha d'oraisa. You could have things that done by a Jew which are asur midrabanan, various kinds of shvusim. Number three, you could have amira la'akum. And number four, you could have things that are inherently mutter, except for only included in gzeiras refuah. They would only, in other words, there's no iser involved. Putting yayin and shemen on the maka is not a malacha. It's just gzeiras refuah. So outside of the fact that it might be usher for refuah purposes, there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Taking medicine, you know, taking a pill would be in the same category. It's something, in other words, for a person who has got a headache that's bad enough, that they now have to lie down, so taking ibuprofen would be mutter, and there's no issue of gzeres refuah because it's not a mechosh ba'alma anymore, and it's not like you have to talk about what do you do to ayidei goy because there's no malacha whatsoever involved. The raisa, the rabban, or anything like that, it's just gzeres refuah, which is doesn't apply in this case. Gilad.
Why does the summer not just seem to have any holding in
it? It does, but the question is the threshold of tzar has to be, you know, such that it impedes a person's functioning. A minor level of tar, you know, where they felt the need to be gozer there.
What about the impeding oneg Shabbat?
No, that's not sufficient. Right. Yes, Josh. So that's what I think. That's the interesting case. That would come back to the exercise question too. If a person's a bari now, but I don't remember an explicit case in those circumstances. My starting assumption might be that no, that would be mutter. Why would I say that?
Yeah, I think I've read in the Shemesh Shabbos preventing infection is okay. Not like putting a band-aid on a cut is fine, but you can't use Neosporin.
Well, no, but that, no, but that's a different issue. That's not a function of preventing infection or not. That is, there's no issue in putting the band-aid on because the band-aid doesn't heal. It just protects you from rubbing against something, whereas the Neosporin is meant to actively be engaged in the refuah process. The band-aid is just to protect it and let the body heal itself.
Yeah, I'd have to say that you're just going along with your daily routine. I mean, maybe you shouldn't on Shabbat, but you're going along with your daily routine. Preventative in this case is not really changing anything about your routine.
Would it be like high blood pressure medicine or something like that?
No, that you're already a chole, but we might argue that's a chole shame. That's already, that's not mechosh be'alma, it's a chole shame b'sakana.
I was thinking something like there are pills for like some people get people get really bad heartburn. You know, if you could take a pill, there are pills that you take.
I know, so I have.
Very immediately that you go, you're going to go and eat, but you have to take it.
Right. So. I'll tell you, my gut tells me, no pun intended there, that your lactate thing is mutter because that's really part of eating food. The heartburn case.
Why is that?
Because basically, what is there to do is to neutralize the certain things in the milk. As opposed to preventing your body.
It's like carosa.
What's that?
It's like
it kills the kafa.
I thought you said that like Rosh Hashanah said on Yom Kippur you can take with mouthwash.
No.
No.
Stop mixing stuff together. Right now, the mouthwash issue is whether mouthwash is considered food. That's assuming a person who has to take a pill. That's mutter for them to take a pill. Right? So my instinct would be, I don't know why, is the difference between those two. However, I suspect that my gut tells me that somebody who's healthy now, that it's not considered bichlal gzeiras refuah. In other words, there is no gzeiras refuah on a person who's healthy doing something, preventing himself from becoming sick. But I'm not sure. Yes.
So what about day number 5 of amoxicillin?
What's that?
Day number 5 of a 10-day amoxicillin regimen.
So we assume as a davar pashut that's a mutter. And that if you're taking amoxicillin, it's for a condition that, if not life-threatening, is potentially dangerous. What?
What is that
exactly?
Oh, good.
Amoxicillin. I knew what that was.
So
okay. One second.
What do you mean by it being life-threatening? If I don't take it today, nothing's going to happen to me, certainly today and probably not ever.
But the point is that you don't... Is that once the... I think we assume once the condition is one that has to be treated, you follow the treatment course through. That is, I think, standard practice. You know, that's not so different than the Gemara saying that if he needs 8 days of a treatment, you don't push it off to Motzei Shabbos, even though it could probably wait because he's not going to die between now and then. But if this condition is life-threatening, then you start now, even though you're going to have to be mechal the 8th day. What's that? Well, then, right. So I think the way we treat this is a holy shame b'sakana, and therefore there's no gzeiras refuah on it. Daniel.
Does that also apply when the doctor sometimes prescribes an antibiotic, even though you don't have an infection? He thinks your situation may give you one at some point, so he just nips it in the bud by giving you an antibiotic.
Well, then you would argue that that's an achabriyim, right? You're buried now in that regard. That's just probably a bad practice, but
achabriyim, even though the item is inherently
depressed immune system.
So that we have to clarify that question. In most cases, right, well, I mean, I'd like to be able to say, unfortunately, I can't, that if a doctor's prescribing it, then there's no gzeiras refuah on it. The only problem is that, you know, doctors are not always responsible, so that's a problem. All right. Anyway, okay, so you'll get to see, a number of these things will appear eventually in the Shulchan Aruch. But in the meantime, let's take a look at the sources that brought the Ramban to force them into a corner to say, to do what he... You know what he wanted to do. Those of you, by the way, I don't know if some of you finished all the Makaros already. If you finished the Makaros, okay, on Sunday, because I see we're probably not going to finish getting through on the Shir today. So the next step would be read the Ramban on Shara Sakana. You may not get the base manager will have it if you need Bar Ilan has it. So keep yourself busy and out of trouble, and you'll get really a thorough summary. Or thorough overview is a better way of putting it, of the sources and the issues in Pikuach Nefesh. All right, so Shabbos, Daf Kof Chaf Ches Amud Beis. I feel with some of your questions like I did it many years ago, and I don't think it's inherent, I'd like to believe, it's not inherent in different teaching men and women, but one of the things I discovered many, many years ago when I gave what probably was the first Gemara Shir, not as a matter of principle, just practice, a regular, maybe there was one during the week, for the women in my shul. So I discovered that doing a halacha l'maisa topic was always a bad idea, because then everyone wanted to know what about in their kitchen this and that and the other thing. So that's what you guys are making me feel like here. It's sort of like, no, wait, I just want to talk theoretical principles, and you're hocking me on the details. Okay. What's that?
The last week of Shir, of an entire year doing halacha l'maisa.
I'm interested in halacha l'maisa. I just want to first get through first principles. Okay. Gilad, read. Keep out of trouble. Kuf chav chesam and beis. That's not my interest in them. I'm yaldin. Fine, that's sufficient for now. Three things. What does it mean to be miyaldin is isha b'shabbos? It means help extract the baby. Alright? Why would that be usher? Or, put differently, you let Amy Yaldin is a behema.
It could be.
So Rashi writes it just a tircha. I didn't think. What?
Be a muksa problem? It's not because it was Noah.
So.
Yeah, that was Danny's joke.
He meant that as a joke.
Yeah, he meant it as a joke. The Noah. The muksa thing.
So the answer is Adam is not muksa.
No,
it's behema. Oh, behema. Oh, very clear. Okay.
Why you can't be meowing at behema.
Interesting. So Rashi writes because of tircha. That's not as crazy as I thought. Okay. So you could say that that it's. I would be surprised if someone actually does say that. So why do you think it was a joke?
No, because he's like, oh, it's Noah. But I wasn't saying because of that. I was saying because.
So that's an interesting question. I'm interested because of Shai that I mentioned to you previously about doing in vitro fertilization on Shabbos, doing the implantation. Well, is there a malacha d'oraisa involved in extracting the vlad? What? No, come on, you can do better than that. That's not bad, by the way, but no, because that's like ochel mitoch ochel. That's like squeezing a lemon onto a salmon, right? It's solid. So this is the vlad is a solid coming out of the mother, but that's not bad. Better, yeah.
But you want to say
kotzer?
No, but
yeah, ochre davet migula gozes.
But I want
cut your fingernails. It's gozes.
I want to say in a non seriously though. I think this might be like an application of ein mitamlin, in the sense that kind of like body work with someone who is in some form.
You're not helping the problem by not.
Yeah, no, like that's one of the things that people do.
No, it's not misamlin.
Aren't you helping the animals?
It's not like kutzer, though, because kutzer is now dead, and hopefully now it's not.
No, but
that's not true.
And now it's.
If you have a flower pot on the ground, and you have a flower pot in the ground with plenty of holes, large enough, okay? And even may have some roots that spread, and you pull it out of the ground, the thing can still live for a very long time and could live indefinitely almost, but it's still, I think, tolesh. I think it's still okodav migidulo. So, you know, the question is, how do you handle the atzitz nakov as a big machlokas, whether that's the rice or the rabbanon?
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was pashut, it was the rice, but there's a sugya. Where's the sugya? Is it in Beitza somewhere?
I
know we encountered in Daf not so long ago. It's either in Sukkah or Beitza, where it sounds like, or Shabbos, maybe it's Shabbos somewhere. It's in Shabbos, maybe it's the bottom of the Samud. Hold on. It's in Shabbos somewhere. It's somewhere, okay. Well, it's a whole question whether or not that's actually the Raisa or not. But on the assumption that it is, certainly that's a case where. And I think the reason for assuming that it's not the rice, it would not be because it's not okedah migidulo, but just because it's not migidulo. It's not really yonek when there's no roots running through it.
What about the tzar of that?
So the animal will give birth. Animals don't require midwives. I always kind of wondered that. They call veterinarians to help deliver like this. It's like, why do you need a veterinarian? What's that?
Well,
When's the last time you saw a gazelle summon a midwife? Or a wildebeest summon a midwife? I don't understand. What?
These animals are wilderness skills.
Oh, you mean your domesticated cow doesn't have the wilderness skills here to push its vlad out. I never understood that.
The domesticated animals, like, they're shaped differently.
If one sees that the animal is actually in harm at that moment and they're having a hard time doing it, sometimes the animal will die during...
Maybe, you know, it must be, someone could Google, you know, gazelles dying in childbirth. I don't know. I've always kind of wondered about that. Why is it that we as humans seem to be the only ones who really need a midwife?
We also walk on two legs and aren't really good at it. So.
We are excellent at walking on two legs.
We just want to improve the odds. Like, things always go
wrong. You and I will have this dispute another time, okay? All right. Kusky knows where I'm going with this. All right, so anyway. So whatever, the bottom line is, so I'm more interested in Mialdin. Is Mialdin involved with the Malacha, the Raisa, or not? It's a Machlokas HaRishonim. The Rashba writes here, assumes it's the Raisa, and the proof he brings is very interesting. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I always wonder, in other words, and this was the Shah we spoke about, in implanting an embryo, is that Zorea or not?
No.
The Karaite shot, except for... for the Raya against me would have been is that we permit Tashmish on Shabbos. There is a difference between the two. You'll think about what the difference is. There is actually a difference between them, just conceptually. Between taking an embryo and implanting it versus intercourse where fertilization might take place.
It's already there.
But was there ever a hollow?
Yeah,
it's not potential, it's actual.
So it's not so posher to me.
But was there ever a Karaite Havlamina?
And by the way, the svara that somebody said before that it's still alive was what Rabbi Neuberger's response to me was about that he said, but normally, similar, not the exact same thing, when you put a seed in the ground, it decomposes. Right, as opposed to an embryo which doesn't decompose, it just grows.
The only
catch is that's not true for all things that you plant.
Really?
There's a davar shezaro kala and a davar shein zaro kala, at least the way Chazal describe it. I've never, you know, there's some things where the original seed sort of decomposes and other things it just sprouts.
Meaning like the casing
what's that?
Casing decomposes, it's not like the entire
flowers.
Well, it would be not recognized. Anyway, so that's the question: whether miyaldin involves a malacha de oraisa or not. Whether it involves a malacha de oraisa or not. So the Mishnah said that you do three things for a
mitzvah. Was there ever a karaite havamina? Like, why are we taking it so this seriously?
No. The karaites say the karaites and the jubilites say. No, that was the raya that I was wrong that implantation shouldn't be a malacha because intercourse is permitted against the karaite.
It's permitted, that we can't think of a reason why it would be asur.
No, the fact that it's permitted would suggest that my suggestion is wrong about implantation being zorea. But there's a teretz that there's a difference between tashmish and implanting an embryo.
I guess I would say that it's wronger than wrong.
Well, I appreciate your vote of confidence, but once we recognize the distinction, it's not wrong at all. It might be wrong, but it's not clearly wrong.
Is there a teretz that Tashmish wouldn't be? Like, is it just Zorea?
That would have been the... that's what the Karaites... The Book of Jubilees doesn't explain why they hold that intercourse is Aser, but the Karaites believe it's Becharishuv HaKatzir Tishbos. Ibn Ezra makes fun of them. But, Kedarka Bakodesh, but the point is that... so we reject that, and it's probably the reason why Chazal say that there's a special mitzvah of Onan, Lel Shabbos, is Lafukim Ili Banshel, you know, whoever they...
I think that the Raya for that Chasir HaKatzir...
Becharishuv HaKatzir Tishbos.
You find it also in Jubilees. There's you talk about
Karaites
and then it also talks about Tashmish.
Oh, no, that's fine. I understand. That was the sheet of the Book of Jubilees and it's the sheet of the Karaites. But
the
Chazal.
In Qumran, document, the Shabbos, Hillel Shabbos,
yeah.
They have the reason is I think about Kalyan's Tumah of Nida.
Okay.
So I think it's different reason.
Well,
fine. All right. Well, I don't need to. I don't need to be mavara right now. I don't need to mevar every sectarian she debai shen.
So
I want to point
that. It's all about like plants and vegetables.
Excuse
and people aren't vegetables.
Hi, there are lots of them. There are lots of fruits and vegetables walking around. So. So the bottom line is that if you can have the question is what if miyaldim is a malacha doraisa, then why isn't the reverse also? So it's a question of what is miyaldim, what's the malacha? But, yeah.
Does anyone say it's a malacha doraisa?
Yes, the Rashba.
Which with what malacha
do you say? Then he says identify. I don't remember if he identifies which malacha. It's in the chidushim here. You'll see the raya from the Gemara in a moment. That so what are the three things you can do for a midwife yes, Gilad.
Why are we talking about dentists?
What's that? Oh, that's probably the answer to the Muksa question, by the way. That's the answer, by the way. Of course you can't do it on Shabbos. It's Muksa. The answer, it's a Yom Tov where, because an Egel Shinolad, the Yom Tov is Mutter.
And I know that you don't plan the Shabbat, it's Mutter.
If the mother is Mukhan, the Shechita, then the Vlad is Mukhan. And therefore, if you're if the mother's Omed is Lachila, then the Vlad is no Muksa problem. In fact, I don't remember what the din is if it's not. But that's the sugya in the first Berak of Beitza, the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel about Ephraim Shinolad and a Beitza. But everybody agrees that an Egel Shinolad is Mutter. In fact, even an Egel Shinolad and a Treifa is Mutter, actually. So thank you, Gil, for reminding me that's why it's Yom Tov. Because on Shabbos, it would be also because of Muksa. But on Yom Tov, it could be Mutter because there's no Muksa involved. It's only Shaila whether you're allowed to be Mialed or not. Okay, so what you thought might have been a half joke is actually a comment to be taken seriously. Yes.
If we're saying Mialdin is an Isser to Oraita, then doesn't that kind of undermine the flow of whatever Mialdin is to something a little bit more Chomer and Kohen La Chachamam Yachum Makom and culminating in Machal Din Ala Shabbat?
So hold on. Let's do the three things here. You can be Mialdin to Yishe B'Shamas. You can call a midwife from place to place. What does that violate?
Tchum.
Is Tchum Doraisa the Rabbanon? Three-way machlokas. Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah in Sota believes that Tchum Alpayim Am is Doraisa. We don't paskin that way. Nobody does. I mean, nobody that I'm aware paskins that way. Then, the other position is that of the Chacham Musun that Tchum is only Drabanan, which is the way most Chachme Ashkenaz paskin like. But the Rambam and the Rif have a third shita, which is that Rabbi Akiva is rejected with respect to 2,000 Amos, but with respect to Yud Beis Mil, 12 times that. So then there would be a din of Tchum Shabbos Doraisa,
yeah,
which is something that you would rarely encounter. In fact, it makes it wonder in this particular case, how are you going to ever call a Chachamah Mimakom Lamakom? It's possible, but not likely. You know why not?
You can't walk there and back.
In order to get it on Shabbos, you know, 24 mil, to be Chutz Chun Vomil is most of a day's walk. What? Right, and you couldn't travel at night. That wasn't really an option. So it seems unlikely you're dealing with Tchum Daraisa here. You're dealing with Tchum, which we would assume is the Rabbanon, but, all right.
Doesn't Rashi make sense then? It's like, it's Tircho, which is some Shavuos or something like that, and then the Rabbanon, and finally...
Hold on. Umachal and Asa Shabbos.
What do you call it before Shabbos?
What?
What is before Shabbos? On Thursday, late Thursday night, she went into labor. You send someone to go with us on Shabbos. And then by the time they reach the Chachamah, it's Shabbos.
Fine, fine. Okay, it can happen. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's going to be a shlub. Zach the Gemara, go ahead. Miyal din es Aisha. Stop, before you get to the answer, what does the Gemara's Kasha tell you immediately? No, so tells you that at least that one of the previous ones, at least one of the previous ones was the Oraisa. One of them had to be the Oraisa, because otherwise, what do you mean, Lasu Yemai? We told you two Darabanans, and now...
Then the question would just be, the first two are Darabanan, and it could just say Mechal and Tashal, and that would mean the Oraisa and Darabanan.
No, but the Gemara says, the Gemara, that's not the Mashmah, so the Gemara... In other words, the Gemara, there were multiple ways the Gemara could have asked the question, but the outcome would be the same. Lasuye Mai, presumably, if in fact the first two were only the Rabbanan, Lasuye or Malachas Doraisa. Instead, the Gemara is going to come up with a Pikuach Nefesh like this, where you don't actually need to do it directly for her, but it's indirectly necessary and for her psychological well-being, so that's part of Pikuach Nefesh. And why not just say, to do things that were Doraisa, to light a fire for her, to cook food for her.
So, is the question saying only which one is the question saying? Just teach that one. I was saying just teach Mechal Shabbos, and we know the first two.
That's not what the that's not the way the Gemara formulates the question. It's suyei mai.
Oh, to exclude that.
No, to include what that wasn't already mentioned. And it's not a question of find me another thing that's pikuach nefesh. It's conceptually, in other words, mechalos hashamis, which is a generic statement. Yeah, okay, but we knew that already. But what do you mean you knew that already? If the first two things were only derabbanan, how did you know you did the right do the raisis? So that's akasha. The Tosas Yantiv seems to be unaware of the Rashba. So Tosas Yantiv in his commentary here writes that obviously you see this Mishnah is a raya for the Rambam and the Rif that Tchum Yud Beis Mil is Doraisa. Because Miyaldin is only because of Tircha, like Rashi says. Therefore, it must be that Karn Lachacham Malkal Malkal must be potentially Issa Doraisa. Truth is, it's a Pella, what Tosas Yantiv is saying. It makes no sense. Why not? Forget that he didn't see the Rashba. Okay, you could argue with the Rashba. Rashi doesn't agree with the Rashba. Why does it make no sense?
He's saying that the Mishnah is a proof.
Four. He's already four. I understand what his proof is, but it's a bad proof.
Based on Rashi.
No. He's based on Rashi's reading of what Mi'isr Mi'aldin is, therefore the only possibility what's left is Tulman. The second one. Mm-hmm. Why? The Gemara's Kasha would still make no sense. What is the Isr of Tulman? What's the punishment for violating Tchum? Yeah, maybe Malkos. Maybe Al Yetz Ishim Mekomo Bayam Ashvi. It's not Malach of Chiyav Chatas. So going to the Gemara's Kasha wouldn't make any sense. La Suye, one of the Lamites Malachos. So forget that it's not a compelling reading of the Mishnah because of the Rashba, but even if you want to grant it's correct, it still doesn't make any sense.
Situations in which Tchum is Mekir and Chiyav Malachos aren't?
The answer to that, do I have a specific case? I don't remember offhand. I will tell you that, I mean, firstly, the leap is not surprising at all. The Gemara has.
They're both Isur Dor, right? They're different punishments.
So we know first, so that's an interesting question. Do we distinguish between Isur Karis versus Isur Lav or not? There's conflicting mashmelios in the Gemara. Even in Yevamos, there's one sugya. The other Gemara says, Ma'ali Isur Lav, Ma'ali Isur Karis, the beginning of 15th parak. Elsewhere, certainly we do make distinctions. Even Yevamos, for example, Aseh Dochalos, Aseh only applies to Lav Sheimo Karis. So one would think, there's also an implied, I just can't remember if anywhere in Shabbos we make the distinction. It's going to be hard to find a Doraisa. I mean, I'll tell you where to look for this. By Tchum, you're not going to find it because there's probably no explicit sugi anywhere in Shabbos that assumes that Tchum is Doraisa. The place to look for it is in Shrisas Behemta, or doing Mechamer. Right? Lo Sasecha Malcha Uvehemtecha means you're not allowed to squirm at your behemoth to get it to do work. Or you're not allowed to push your behemoth to do work. And that's called Mechamer. And Mechamer, we assume you don't get Misa for. So the question is, would you ever find a case where we distinguish between Mechamer versus Regel Malcha? The Gemara has a Shaila in the beginning of the 7th parak. They talk about someone, a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that if someone knew of Ikar Shabbos, but he didn't know that these things were malachos, that he brings one chattas for every malacha that he violates. And what's that? So in Shat, and they quote Rabbi Yochanan, Shemasai, Minyan Alamanli, Shemasai, Halamachas, Chayim Alchachas Viachas. So the Gemara asks Akasha, this I don't think you saw. Well, if that's the case, how could you be chayav if you didn't know any one of the lamed tes malachas? How did you know of Shabbos? Then what did Shabbos mean?
Make Kiddush.
So some suggest that maybe lav de mechamer, maybe that should count. They have to go look at the sugiyot to see whether they're comfortable with that or not. So you know,
I like the idea that there is malach. Okay,
not the idea of Shabbos.
The idea that there is
malacha,
but you don't remember what it is.
Yaakov, will you comment on it? No.
Just a question. Could that possibly be a chash for herself? I mean, she's going to have to bring herself.
No. I mean, it's not that. Sofo would be mutter, but from the Mishnah, it doesn't sound like, in other words, the assumption is that people go, they don't necessarily need, and they didn't have the same kind of equipment that we would today. And thus,
they also might have had equipment that we don't use.
So your taina is a better taina, that would be a better answer, but I will tell you that that all the places in the Mishnah that we have things like this, the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah and so on, it sounds like the primary issue is the Isser Tchum. It's not unreasonable what you're suggesting. That's not a bad suggestion. That's better than, I think, what the Tosfos Yontif says. So the Rashba says here that the Miyaldin is a Daraisa. That's a Malacha Daraisa. Because Tchum is only the Rabbanan. Okay, so now the Gemara says, so we already know from one of the first two cases that Chilul Shabbos is mutar even by a Malacha Daraisa. So what does a Mechalas HaShabbos mean? So the Gemara now explains. Go ahead. So the Gemara is going to explain now. We'll talk. I'm not going to explain any of this. We'll come back to each part. Okay. By the way, what does Amar Mar mean?
You go back to what we just said.
So there are two different kinds of Amar Mars in the Gemara. One Amar Mar is usually in dialogue, but Amar Mar did the master not say. But Amar Mar here is a technical term which dissects a previously quoted brisa.
It's like Gufa.
It's not the same as Gufa, because Gufa usually picks up on a brisa that was quoted tangentially before and picks up on one point, whereas Amar Mar tends to go through the parts of the brisa systematically. So, Amar Mar is just for Amar Mar. Did the master not say? It's usually an Amoraic dialogue.
It just brings in.
It's a respectful third person. That's all.
And like, what about?
But that's usually for Amar Mar as opposed to Amar Mar.
Yeah.
What okay. About, like on the first. What about like bracha, daf bet, not all.
I don't remember. What are you referring to?
Is the Amar Mara
Amaraic
way of saying like a
Hadatan? I don't know if that's the term I would use. Amar Mara is just a Gemara's way of quoting part of a previous price. Go ahead.
Amar Mara, in Hitat Tzricha Lener, Chavetama Lekha La'atan here, Pshita, L'tzricha B'sima, Mahadatim Lakim Adelot Chazia Aser, Kamashalan, Mituva Mitva Da'ata, Sabra, Yikavidli Chazia Chaberta Ha'abdali.
Okay. And how do you know, what's the raya for this from the Torah? Excellent! Did I say this once before?
No.
You knew it. Excellent!
What is it?
The Gemara Megillah tells the story. A pasuk, the Rav Yosi had a kasha about, what do you mean? What do you mean? A blind person gropes in the dark, but he doesn't grope in the light? So the Mashal, he quotes a story of Yosef, says, one time I encountered a blind man walking with a torch, and I said to him, Bini, avuka zelamalach, what good does the torch do? He said, well, I can't see, but people, when I'm carried, people see me, and they save me from the snares and the pits and so on. So even though the blind person can't see, he benefits from the light, because the seeing people who assist him can see. So yes, excellent. Okay. What's that? Okay. You're a basin. So that's what the Gemara says, that the psychological needs of the patient also matter. Fine, so that's a very important call. Well, here's a very, very important question. What about the needs of the patient that won't endanger their life, but they are in danger anyway? What's the din?
What was the question, sorry? What was the need of the patient?
No. Right now the concern is that upsetting this woman will endanger her further. Supposing I have a person who's in danger, and then they have another condition, which might be an irritant, but poses no danger to them, it's not going to endanger life in any way. Are you allowed to treat that as well? Do you say once then the gather of Chola Shesh Basakana, you treat everything or not? It appears, Beis Yosef claims, it's a machlokas harishon.
Isn't one of the sugyos that we're going to see, I guess, on Kukhav Tet, is that mashma that even if she doesn't want it, it's still a violation of it?
Well, no, but that's because the assumption is that she's lost her mind. Tunbahu denakala. That's a case where we fear that she really is in danger, but she thinks she isn't.
Where's that
quoted? Tunba? Now, the Gemara you're thinking of is on Kuftes. In the first 3 days, even if the Chaya says, I don't need, we still do the things that normally you would do for her. But even, but the reason why when the Chola says Eini Tzarach and the Rofe says, or the others say, and this is automatically assumed to be the case by within the first 3 days, postpartum, the reason why we say that you don't listen to the Chola is because we say Tunbahu Denakatla. Like the Chola says, I don't need to eat Yom Kippur, and that say he or she needs to eat. We make them eat, because Tunbahu Denakatla. Yes.
I thought that in this Gemara, though, the question of Pshita was it's Pikuach Nefesh, and then the answer of Lo, Tzicha Besuga. Was that even in the case it's not Pikuach Nefesh? Because
no, the assumption is that Hoset Tzricha Alaner, Pikuach Nefesh, Madlekes Laos Haner.
But then what's the Kamash Malan in the answer? Because either way,
the Kamash Malan in the answer, in other words, in a Suma, so I would say the following. In the case of the Suma, who can't see anyway. Okay, now, I'll read the Gemara. I think it's clear from the Gemara's lines as follows. It means that there is some light there. And it means, the Summa, remember the following. The Summa, the person whose life, I've explained the following. The person whose life is in danger may need more light than the person who's tending to them. Why? Because they're already in panic mode. Right? So in other words, if I'm treating myself and I need to, you know, suture, I want as much light as possible because I'm already frazzled. And to have to, you know, exert more energy than absolutely necessary, I'm just going to fall apart. But if you're doing it, you're relatively calm, so you don't need as much light. But if I need you to have light, because otherwise I'm going to think you can do a bad job, and it's just going to cause me to become hysterical. So then that's bechlau pikuach nefesh.
But you're already on the road. She can't see hysterical because you're thinking about the light.
Well, that's why we light the light.
But she can't see anything anyway, and the Bakia knows that she has enough light to do her job, which she does every day.
How does she know whether you lit the light for her?
How does who know? Which phone?
So how does the blind woman? Why do we? She knows that there's light, right? She can she can recognize through, you know, what do they call it when you, if you close your eyes, you can see bright and darkness and temperate. Right, to the point that she will have a sense. You're asking me the question, should we lie to her? Tell, okay, we just lit a lamp even though we didn't?
No, but say to her, I do this as my job. I'm a good wife. I'm telling you I'm fine. But that's not going to soothe
I have a question for you. The doctor is working on your kid, putting stitches in. The doctor says, I have enough light. What do you say as a parent? I don't care. Turn that light on.
Yeah, it becomes Pikuach Nefesh on the midwife.
I got it. The point is that the Gemara is suggesting that Isuvei Miyas V'Daita is the key here. Even though it's not, even though that is Pikuach Nefesh.
Especially for someone giving birth.
Okay. Fine. Now the Gemara continues. So when the Braisa, what did the Braisa suggest doing? One of three things. The first one is, what's that?
Oh, the first order. First
yeah.
You hold it, biad, carry it, biad. I'm not sure what you do with biad.
What do you do, biad?
Smear
it
onto your hand, maybe.
No. Yes.
Oh, Rashi seems to say it's somewhat of a shinoi or something.
You put your, you hold the oil in your hands.
Why is that
less of a
shinoi?
Who
holds
oil in their hands? That's less of a shinoi than putting it in your hair. I don't understand the hierarchy. That's,
what's that?
Putting it in your hair is much more of a shinoi than holding something. I would think it's you spread it on your hands, so that's only a little bit.
Well, firstly, the maskanas hagemara is not so. Look, I think biyad means not carrying the kli in the hand. There's no shinui involved.
No, the alternative was to smear it on your hands, so you have a little bit of oil on your hands.
And any different than putting a little in your hands like this?
That's carrying.
Well, firstly, what you're suggesting is probably nothing at all. So what's the chiddush?
Maybe you have how is it any different than your hair?
What's that? So again, you're right, your kasha might be a fair kasha to have. No, but if it's on your, unless you say because it's so extra, it's hard to say.
Didn't we say you have to wipe off the water from when you get out of the nahar because you want to be carrying water into your shusar
abin? Yeah, also like you're cupping your hand, you can get like a little bit.
I hear.
Of in
there. Well, that's
like that's what you're doing.
No, I know. He's saying that maybe. So you're saying that maybe that would be the same thing as the mayim. Okay, maybe. So maybe it would be carrying. Yes.
Don't we assume, based on the first parak and the whole thing about the chayat b'machto in his shirt or whatever it is, that anything via dayim is considered on tzadik d'oraita? And then the question is, do you also
no.
extend that?
No. It has to be. It is not normal to carry liquids in the palm of your hand because it is a very inefficient method.
But didn't the Gemara over there discuss cases of things that it's also normal to carry in a different way? If you have a backpack, let's say. This wasn't in the Gemara, this is on the asking. If you have a backpack, okay, everybody carries the backpack on their back, okay?
Right.
If I feel like walking around holding my backpack like this, nobody does that. I don't do that. That's not what I'm talking about, right? So you're telling me?
The answer is, yeah, it might not be. Yeah. Again, the question where you normally what you normally do with something, but something that's normally not carried out in a certain fashion. I'm not sure in the specifics. I agree with your example because you might carry the object holding it without being in the backpack. So just because it's in the backpack, you might not be chayiv on the backpack. You'd be chayiv on the object. But in principle, if it's not normal to carry it that way, yeah, you are patur in daraisa. Yeah, that's the Mishnah.
Anything in your hand.
Yeah, if you carry out in a way that's not normal, that shinui means it's patur. Okay, so anyway, so there were three possibilities, biyad, then bisara, and then bikli. So the Gemara says, go ahead, tefikle.
What does that mean? Why
bother putting it in the hair if you could just carry it? Because carrying the hair, you have to do schita, that's a malacha, so why is one malacha better than the other? It's more efficient to carry in a kli.
Is it better to do it shinai?
No, because it's better to do it more efficiently and get what you need. If you have to do a malacha daraisa anyway, why is one better than the other? If squeezing out the hair is going to involve schita daraisa, then you might as well just carry the kli.
It's a sufficient shinui on the hotel, but not enough for the...
But not on the hair, at least at this point in the Gemara. I'd even argue that you're doing one Darabanan and one Daraisa, as opposed to just doing one Daraisa. So the Gemara's answer is... First answer... There's no such thing. Why not?
Because it doesn't go inside.
Because it's not absorbed. The hard bristle ones, right, the little round ones, yes, correct. Okay. Then the Gemara says, okay, so what we're saying is no, not that you put it in the hair and then squeeze the hair out, which again, for most of us, won't work very well anyway. You needed what?
This cover
top. Yeah. Okay. It's a woman. Okay. And we needed Noam's hair. Okay. Okay. So the Gemara says no. The second clause means you take the kli and you tie it in your hair. You close up the pachashem and she ties it, her hair into a knot and around the kli. And so the first suggestion is biyad, then a kli tied in the hair, and then straight out. If you can't, you just bring the kli. Yes, Josh.
I understand practically if it's bolea, then if you use schita, then something comes out of it. But, I mean, is that the definition of schita? It's just bolea. I mean, you get plenty of things that are, you can just do schita on without being it.
That, normally, that's what we assume. Has to be absorbed.
I mean, like fruit. That's the most basic thing. It hasn't, like, absorbed anything. It's just how it is.
In order to be schita, the one has to be contained within the other.
Right.
By the hair, it's not contained within the hair, it's contained between hairs. Now, the Picasso is going to say to me, but the same thing is true by a garment which is absorbed water. It's just between the hairs themselves don't absorb the water.
Yeah.
It's the structure of the garment that allows water to be contained between the hairs more efficiently than between your hairs. No, it's a perception. Perception matters. Yes, Yaakov. I think when Machoshesh, it's the Rabbanon. It's only the Rabbanon. And it's Machlokas Rishon. I want to say the Rambam holds this no seir, no seir, but I'm not sure.
Sponges?
You can't tell. No, I don't think we assume that's a problem. Those bristles, anyway, are much thicker than hair. So. Besides which, you don't generally squeeze those out anyway.
But the
scrubbers you're talking about, you don't squeeze them out anyway.
Okay.
That's not. In order to be schita, you have to.
You think you can squeeze your hair out?
You can.
Throw a button on whatever.
Correct. You can squeeze your hair. If you, I cannot really squeeze my hair at this point, right? But if you let your hair grow enough, then you could take the whole thing and you could squeeze it out.
Wow.
And those who are concerned about schita for showering on Yantif, so I don't think it's such a big chashash for the men. The women, it might be a different story, but the men, I don't think most of us have hair that you could. If a woman would like to cut her hair short, she is welcome to do so. Okay. Next. The Gemara says, finally, the Gemara said, the Kama Efshar L'Shani Mishanin, and that's a very important point. The Ramban highlights this, that if something is only, if there's Pikuach Nefesh, if you can do something with a Shinoi, and it will not delay at all, or in any way compromise the Hatzalah, then you're supposed to do so. You're not supposed to do an Isidra Isa, when an Isidra Abana will equally easily suffice. Okay, skip to Chav Tesam and Aleph. Amri Neradoi. All right, Shlosha means the first 3 days. Shiva means from after day 3 until day 7. And Lama means after day 7 until day 30. So what's the rule? Gimel, the first 3 days. Yeah.
Which one are we reading here?
Bein Amar Tzvichani, Bein Amar Lo. Oh. I think even... Well, that's an interesting question. Trying to remember what the Ramban... The Ramban says something about this. Assume for the moment, even if she says Lo Tzvicha... All right, you can be Michal El Shabbos. I could see the other svar that says she has to actually say, she has to say nothing. If she says, I don't need it, then you don't do it. Okay. Because the assumption is, Achayev Bechlal Gimel Yomim is what? Is in danger. And I think, I'm pretty sure the way we paskin, like Yom Kippur, a woman gave birth, you know, within a day or two before Yom Kippur, they are instructed not to fast. It doesn't matter if they say that they feel they can fast. If they don't need to eat, they're not allowed to fast. Yes.
We say when Michal Shabbos for her within 3 days, what types of things are we talking about?
Anything. Any of her needs. Let's say normally you would prepare for a woman postpartum, you prepare cooked food, hot food. Right? Normally if she would bathe with hot water, then you prepare those things. You heat the water up for her and you tell her to go bathe.
You can cook food for her then?
You can cook food for her. If you didn't have food already. What?
You have other food available.
No, so then that means it's not necessary. You have food available.
So when is it ever necessary? When do you ever not have any food available that you have to go for?
Let's say she... What's that?
Wow.
There are situations when the people didn't have pantries and refrigerator stock the way we do. So it could be that you don't have any food.
So Bisman is that, Bishol would probably never be much
of it. It's rare that you need to correct. Okay. Then continue.
Zion.
Okay, so there, the formulation of the Gemara is consistent with the printed version in the first part.
The Gilyon changes the
whole thing
altogether.
Okay.
If you want.
Finally, Shloshim.
Shloshim, afil aretz v'chani in mechalin alahat shabbat, aval asin ayde arba'i.
So after 7 days, and again, unless we see that she's Mesukenes, even if she says, oh, I absolutely must eat. I'm famished. I feel terrible. So we would treat it like a regular chola, but if it's just on the grounds of her being a chaya, that's not enough of a ground to be Michal Shabbos for the rices, but you're allowed to have a goy do stuff. So Omer... On day 31, so there we would assume that you're not even Michal Shabbos Dami or Lagoy, unless you see it's a situation, unless we evaluate it as a situation of holy. You know, Chol Hashem Basakana. Josh?
So what would say Aramai here instead of Pato Manafi?
Check the manuscripts and check the censors. Okay. Fine. Davar She'en Bosakana Omer Lenachri Ve'osef. Okay, now I'll read to you quickly the Mishnayos in Yoma. Oh, I was supposed to start a little earlier. I skipped over the Mishnayos. Let me read the Mishnayos in Yoma to you, though. Me'emasai psichas hakever, we were supposed to read from. But that's fine. It's a very interesting term.
Yes.
Where do you think it comes from?
There's a pasuk in Iyo. Do we get that from you?
I don't remember. I've said this in the past. You have it. You have it. You also have an allusion to it in Yirmiyahu. Vatili imi kivri rachma haras olam. Same thing. It's the exact same thing. There are parallels between Iyo and Yirmiyahu.
But that's not the way that we thought was the best way to understand it.
It's okay. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Like it works better in the sugya as like a litza for being Afghan.
We talk about psichas hakever in non-pikuach nefesh sugyas, in nida and so on. It's a term that I suspect becomes, because the parallel is used for rechem. Why, I don't know. You could engage in so much drushier, but I'm not going to go down that road. Okay. Mishnah Bei Beis. Ubra shehi richa machil osach etashiv nafsha. That's a question. A pregnant woman who has smelled food. The Mishnah Yom, I'm just reading it to you now. So, a question of who needs the food here, the ubra or the ubar? That's the question. Chola machil no so al pi bekiim. A chola you feed based upon bekiim. Ain remain sham bekiim machil no so al pi atzmo ashiyom erdai. So that's an interesting question. What if the doctor says he doesn't need, but he says he does? That's a whole extent. What? It's a big machlokas of Rishonim. How to understand the maskanas haGemara? It's machlokas amoraim. More on that at some point, I hope. In the Mishnah on Pegilma on Alice, it's misha achazo bulmus, some type of disease of hunger. Machil lo soafil dvarm tmeim. You feed him even non-kosher food ad shi or enav until his eyes light up, meaning until he comes back to life.
Yeah, Rashi says your eyes get dim, you're dull.
It might be true for adults too, but I know you deal with your children. You can tell often that they're not feeling well just looking at their eyes. You can tell them through a child who, you know, might be, you know, this, that, the other thing, but often the eyes you can tell in a sick child. Something, I don't want to say, I haven't taken like a light spectrometer to measure how much, you know, what the shade is, but you can, something about the eyes that you can tell are sort of, fine. Mi shenishacho kelev shote. Someone who is bitten by a rabid dog. Ein machil noso mechatzer kavet shelo Rabbi Masya ben Charash Matir. So machlokas, whether feeding, obviously there was a folk remedy. I don't think it works. Giving them the dog liver.
Probably makes it worse.
No, rabies cannot be, to the best of my knowledge, contracted through consuming the food. It has to get directly into the bloodstream, or even more so in rare cases, very rare cases, but then always fatal almost, directly to the nervous system. So... yeah.
Rashi says machlokas between the two times is about whether it works.
Correct.
It's machlokas about receiving.
Oh.
No, that's not my problem.
Oh.
The problem was that I didn't read the Gemara following this, or not a long time. But is that bochur from the Gemara? Because otherwise, I want the resolution.
Mm-hmm. What would you read the machlokas being about?
Whether this is.
Do you want to argue whether or not the first one is argue whether this is a life-threatening condition. I doubt that that's the case, simply because I think it was pretty well documented. It is the one case I know of. I've read of one case. Not one case. It's very rare, very very rare. People contract babies survive without a vaccine. Very very rare. One case I know, which is the only the case I'm acquainted with where you can get it not through a bite, was a researcher where there was an accident and the thing sort of like exploded and it entered through his olfactory nerve. And there's no vaccine, can't help you because it's already gotten. The whole idea of the vaccine is it catches in the blood before it moves to the central nervous system. So that was good. I think he survived but was severely crippled. You never know which is worse from a certain perspective. So, anyway, but it's very, very rare. I mean, it happens, but it's exceedingly rare. So I find hard to imagine them arguing about whether or not it's sakana.
It was like, I thought you could have interpreted. photograph it to put him more at ease, that's okay.
You want to read it? What's that? No. No. Okay. Fine. Then, Ode Amar Ramashti Ben Charash. Hachoshish begrona matil lo sam besoch pi b'shabbat minishu safik nefashos v'chol safik nefashos docha es ha-shabbos. Which is interesting because that doesn't entail chilul Shabbos.
Unless you're grinding up the spices.
Could be.
Why wouldn't it be Xeris Refuah?
You wouldn't say safik nefashos docha es ha-shabbos by Xeris Refuah. Xeris Refuah was never even by such a case. Mishanafla Mapola, Safek Husham. Safek Enosham. A building collapses and you saw that a guy had been in the building, you don't know whether he was still there when it collapsed or not. Safek Chai, Safek Mesh, you know he's there, but you're not sure whether he survived, because if he died, there's no point in undoing the pile, uncovering the pile on Shabbos, excavating the pile on Shabbos. Safek Huti, Safek Yisra. That's a separate potential topic. Pikuach Nefesh Shel Goy. So if it's a Goy, the Mishnah is assuming it's a Kuti. That's a censor's term. Then you wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos, even if you know he was there, even if you knew he was alive, or if a Jew, you would be Mechal Shabbos, yeah. What? That's an interesting question. The question of Pikuach Gal is also an interesting question. Maybe it's the end of being Mabir Dal, and I'm suspicious of Rab, maybe it's in the public place, I don't know. We had that same problem when we did the Gemara in that Yushalmi, that the Rashbam makes famous. Right? We don't know what was the big deal about Mefach and Lav Zagal.
It should have been Rosh Hashanah, although it might now be
Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. Mitzau chai mefach hazagal, mitzau chai mefach hamesh anichu. Even for chai, the Gemara is going to say even for chai yeshah. If you find him there and he can't live, nonetheless, you still uncover the rest of the pile if he can live a little bit longer.
Does that apply whether if you find him and he's not Jewish? At the end of the night, we're
what? Well, according to the Mishnah, it would seem that you would stop being Mechal Shabbos right then and there.
Really?
I didn't thought you could read the Mishnah.
Is that any better than you know he's a guy and he's underneath the pile and you choose not to uncover it?
Yeah, I guess not.
It's really, I mean, sorry, it doesn't strike you as horrific, but it's equally horrific.
Yeah.
Right? You know what?
I think it's more torturous to like.
Loig LaRush.
See you and then stop.
Okay, but let's say he's unconscious, right?
Okay.
What's that?
I think it's more torturous to him though, to let him find out.
Like, do you take the rock off and be like, you're Jewish?
You take the rock off and you see he's wearing a big tzelem on his neck. Okay, that's usually a tip off.
Oh, but I mean, like, there are people who don't know.
What's
that?
Okay, fine. Let's take a look at the Mishnah and Shabbos. Kuf Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. We can talk. If people wish to discuss, I've spoken about that issue a little bit. Not the pratim of the Chilul Shabbos, but sort of more general terms. I think I've spoken about this issue. No, during questions, I spent this issue many times. If you wanted to see the formal makoros, we can look at them. All right. You can start in the Mishnah Gilad from Sachan Umamash Mishin.
Sachan Umamash Mishin, Aval, Lumit Amlin, Lumit Arin.
So it sounds like, now, what is this in the context of, obviously? Bathing. So you can rub oil into yourself. Umamash Mishin means you can give a massage, it sounds like. Rashi says, Umamash Mishin biyado kola gufla hana. That's a massage. Have a low Miss Amnon below Miss Garden. Miss Amnon, Rashi says,
rubbing hard.
A shaft shape bechalach.
It's possible that it's the mash machine been
Okay. That's not how Rashi understood. Have a low Miss Amnon means lekoach. And velo misgarin means a scraper. You have like some kind of like a back scratcher almost, but you can't do that.
Apparently, actually, it's like the thing that you scratch yourself with in the back to clean off the oil. It's like I googled it on like
And so, like, well, apparently, like, that's what Joshua called it, like, some sort of, like,
it's very stir,
or something like that.
Very part of the Greek culture.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how Joshua was translated, and I looked it up, because that's what it was.
I mean, that's how they used to go to the bath. Like, they used the Roman baths, what they used to do when they were done, they would exercise, they put oil on themselves, and they scrape off the oil.
Okay. So, you're not allowed to do that. Why not? It's either Uvda Dachol, or based upon the continuation, it's considered Xeris Refor. Then why is it Mutta when you just try, if you're dirty? Why is the Misgarden Mutta if you're dirty? Why is that not Uvda Dachol?
Well, this is tough. Why is the special silver one for Shabbos any better?
What's that?
Why is the special silver one for Shabbos any better?
No. One second. Where is that in the Gemara? Hold on.
Where you put it? The end of the sugya that you gave with it. Like,
yeah, one second. Does Rashi say that?
Rashi says the Shabbat, yeah.
Why else would we...
Oh, that's not... I thought it was Pashut. I didn't mean the Gemara was for Shabbos.
Mommy made him a silver one.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's not a... One second. Interesting. I don't know, but I don't think that's clear from the Gemara itself. I think you could just say that... What? Well, this is not uncommon in the Gemara. I'll show you other Gemara. In fact, there's one that I just saw where the Gemara quotes the din, but it wasn't for Shabbos itself. It was for something else. Maybe it was in the bathroom Gemara.
Was it a din, or was it just a story about a gift that a mother wants to give herself?
I don't remember, but that still doesn't. It's not out of character, the Gemara,
that's
to do that.
Rashi does it.
Okay, maybe. Then again, that doesn't make it not Uvda Dachol.
No.
It's just because when he had to get the dirt off his back on Shabbos, she made him a special Shabbos one. That's all. Still doesn't prove it. All right. Anyway, let's just finish the Mishnah. In Yordin. Rashi says it's a river. Which means? Yes.
Saw this already, both of them.
The Ain. There's something you can't fix his spine. Right. You can't.
Setting a
bone, yeah.
Setting or like repositioning. The same thing. I mean, there are different things, for instance. One could just be. Your straight bone is no longer straight, right? So you can either just hold it where it is, so. Like what they do in the ambulance, for instance, or you can actually.
I assume it's put back. Machzirin es hashemer.
I thought it was like things being like dislocated.
No, that's the next one. Mishnifrika. Right. So I don't know what does that mean. I don't know. Apparently. What's that? Yeah, but if you can bathe, and if in the water, it happens to make it better. Okay.
It feels better, at least. That's for sure.
That's true. That's true. If it were cold enough, but that's probably not what they're talking about. It would reduce the swelling, maybe. But okay. So on Sunday in Be'ezras Hashem, we will, if she's regular time, we will pick up and try to finish and get through most of this. I hope it doesn't take longer than that. I'd like to see a few other topics next week. Okay.